Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Download more sermons or learn about the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene at our website, capenazarene.org. Here's Pastor John Twitchell as he delivers this week's message.
Well, I want to take a moment this morning to thank those of you who came out last Sunday night to help us decorate the church sanctuary. You probably have already noticed, but I'll just point them out to you. The window greens and wreaths are in the windows and doors, the greenery reminding us of continual life, even in the midst of winter. The candles are in the windows, reminding us of God's light, even during the darkest and shortest of days. The Advent wreath is here in place, helping us to mark the time toward Christmas, as we remember each week the messages of peace, hope, joy, and love during the 4 weeks of Advent. Now, we've started to assemble the nativity scene up here, but you've probably noticed it's not complete yet. We'll finish completing the scene on December 23rd, the evening of our Christmas candlelight service, by assembling the cast of characters that were involved in that holy night. And of course, our Chrismon tree is up here in the corner. Chrismon, a hybrid word put together meaning Christ and monogram. They are monograms that remind us of the person of Christ. The tree is decorated with white and gold, reminding us of Christ's purity and His royalty. And the chrismons, the monograms that represent Christ, a crown, a cross, a chalice, an anchor, a dove, many more symbols up there. I hope you'll take some time to look at the symbols and contemplate what they might mean. And if you're not sure what one means, feel free to ask someone and we'll help you know what the different symbols on the tree mean. There are many types of Christmas trees, aren't there? Most of the trees in our homes are covered with ornaments that have some sort of special meaning to us. Melody and I, over the years that we've been together, have every year on the 1st of December given each other a special ornament, one that we went and picked out for the other person. So for each year that we have been together, we have this collection of ornaments, must be now up around 22 or so, that we have hanging on our tree. They help us to remember the time that we have shared together as a couple, that we've shared life together. Now, I've seen church Christmas trees that all they simply are is just a green tree decorated with white lights. And that tree probably is designed to remind us that Christ is the light of the world. You've seen some trees probably that are just decorated with little white doves. I think, in fact, at some point in this church's history, we had a tree that was just decorated with little white doves, reminding us that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, that He desires to bring peace into our world. And, of course, as I've mentioned, our tree is decorated with a variety of symbols, reminding us of the various characteristics and qualities of the Messiah. Well, today, in a few moments, I'm going to show you a picture of a very different sort of a Christmas tree. And this particular tree I'm going to show you might be 2,000 years old. Oh, it's not really a Christmas tree in the strictest sense of the word. It is actually an olive tree. It is a tree that is still alive today. In some ways, this tree, though, I believe, is the truest and most beautiful Christmas tree that ever existed. It lives in an olive grove partway up Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel is in Israel. Are you ready to see my beautiful Christmas tree? Okay, here it is. You see what that is? There's a stump on the bottom there, about halfway up the screen. That's a stump. Now, that stump is probably 2,000 years old. May have actually been an olive tree that was alive during the days when Jesus walked in the flesh on this earth. But somewhere along the way, the tree was chopped off. It was cut down about halfway up. But somewhere along the way, after time, shoots began to grow forth out of the stump. And new life began to spring forth. And you can see there is now an olive tree growing out of the stump. New life springing forth from death. Hope growing out of hopelessness. You say, Pastor, why are you calling that a Christmas tree? It's not an evergreen. It doesn't have lights on it. There's no ornaments. I'm not really sure I get it. Well, it reminds us that Jesus brings hope into hopelessness. It reminds us that even in the darkest of nights, we can turn to the light of the world. that even in a world torn apart by war, we can serve the Prince of Peace. And perhaps most importantly, this tree helps us understand the prophecy of Isaiah, recorded in chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Isaiah paints a beautiful image of peace. Oh, what with lions and wolves and leopards, spending time with lambs, calves, and goats. On the one hand, we have wild carnivorous animals. Animals who typically spend their time looking to kill and devour, and teeth that are designed for ripping and tearing. On the other hand, we have these fairly tame farm animals that usually need someone to look after them because they're so defenseless. Their typical day consists of eating lots of grass and drinking lots of water, and their teeth are designed not for ripping and tearing, but for mashing up grass and grain. Well, Isaiah puts the wild carnivorous animals together with the defenseless herbivores, and then he does what no parent in their right mind would ever dream of doing. He puts a child right there in the middle of them and says, "The little child will show them the way. The little child will lead them." Now, as we hear this description of this peaceable kingdom, you and I both know this is not the world in which we live today. And as we said last week, this vision of the future is not our present reality. And yet, once again, Isaiah gives us a picture of hope, a picture that tells us the world will not always be the same way, but that God has a deeper plan that will be fulfilled, and he's going to use a shoot from the stump of Jesse. You may remember Jesse, you may not, but you remember his son. His son was David, the second king of Israel, the shepherd boy who played the harp and sang, you remember him. The boy that no one in his family expected would be anointed as king. The one to whom God said in 2 Samuel chapter 7, "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me, and your throne will be established forever." And yet, Isaiah is writing in a unique situation here, for the reality is the royal line of David had become nothing more than a stump. The Israelites were finding themselves in a hopeless situation, weak and powerless before the ever-expanding Assyrian Empire. And once again, the promises of God appeared to be challenged. The promises of God being challenged. It's a theme that recurs in Scripture quite a bit. It's full of examples of the promises of God being challenged. For even as we look at the life of David, remember, it was a long time between when that little shepherd boy was anointed king and when he was actually crowned as king over Israel. And during that time, what did David do? He spent most of his life running and hiding because the current king, King Saul, had assembled all of his military forces and was going out to kill little King David. And yet God was faithful. The promise came true. But David is not the only example of the promise being challenged. Do you remember Abraham and Isaac? Remember God promised Abraham that his descendants would be like the stars in the sky, too many to count. But Abraham's wife Sarah was barren. She was too old to have any children. But God provided, and in a miraculous way, God was faithful to his promises, and Abraham had a son, Isaac. But the promise was challenged again when God asked Abraham to take that only son, his only son Isaac, up to the top of a mountain to sacrifice him before the Lord. But at the last minute, as Abraham was prepared to obey God, even though it didn't make any sense at all, God interrupted Abraham and God provided a ram that was caught in the thicket. God was faithful to his promise, and Abraham did have many descendants, as countless as the stars in the sky. Fast forward then, if you will, to the time of the Exodus. You remember the Israelites had been slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. God raised up a servant. He raised up Moses to deliver his people and told Moses to take the people to the promised land. But over and over again, this promise was challenged. First, Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. Changed his mind several times along the way, and then he finally relented and let them go. But even as they were escaping Egypt, Pharaoh changed his mind and sent his armies out after them. But God delivered his people. God was faithful to his promises. And yet, the Israelites wandered in the wilderness. They complained. They grumbled. They were hungry. They were thirsty. They even talked about revolting against Moses, turning around and heading right on back to Egypt so they could be slaves again. But God provided water out of a rock. He gave them manna and quail. And Moses led them on so that they might see God's promise become a reality. But the promise was challenged again, for right at the threshold of entering the promised land, Moses sends 12 spies into the land to see what it was like. You remember what happens? The spies return talking about the land flowing with milk and honey, but 10 of those 12 spies said, can't do it, guys. Those people are too big, their cities are strong, they have weapons. We can't take them. And those 10 spies convinced all the people not to enter the land. And so for 40 more years, the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, not receiving the promise of God. The promise was challenged again until Joshua was able to lead the people into the promised land, and God enabled them to defeat the city of Jericho. God's promises are forever. We could continue all morning. We could speak of other Old Testament heroes who saw the word of the Lord come true in the midst of a hopeless situation. There was Queen Esther. She was about to witness the genocide of her people, but she spoke to the king at the right time in order to see them saved. God orchestrated a situation that had taken place years prior, so the king would open a book at the right time and decide to save them. Holiday of Hanukkah. Another holiday that gives testimony to God providing for his chosen people miraculously during the period of the Maccabees. Over and over and over again, God holds on to a righteous remnant of people, providing for them so that they might see the promise come true. The stories go on and on. God gives a promise. The promise appears to be challenged, but God holds true to his promise. And we see the fulfillment of the promise in miraculous ways. And this prophecy I read you this morning in Isaiah is no different. There was a promise that there would be a king in the line of David who would sit on the throne forever and ever. But the line had been, if you will, stumpified, cut off, dead. But Isaiah says, a shoot shall come forth from the stump of Jesse. Even though the situation may appear hopeless, Even though the Davidic dynasty may appear weak and powerless, even though the Assyrian Empire is growing ever stronger, Isaiah tells the Israelites to hold fast, for God has a plan, and there is hope in the midst of their hopelessness. Now, ultimately, you and I have 2,000 years more of time to look back on this and put this all together, and we know that this prophecy, while it related to the period of the Assyrian Empire, has far-reaching implications beyond that. We know that this prophecy about the shoot from the stump of Jesse tells us about Jesus, the Messiah. For Jesus himself was the shoot from the stump of Jesse. He was the king in the line of David who would sit on the throne forever. And it was Jesus, I would submit, who was prophesied way back in 2 Samuel 7 when God told David, "He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son." You see, the message on the second Sunday of Advent is a message of hope. For God desires to break into our cycles of sin and poverty and hopelessness. And God desires to change everything. To bring light into our darkness and hope to the hopeless. The message of Isaiah's Christmas tree, and that's what I'll call this from now on, Isaiah's Christmas tree, is a message of new life springing forth out of the dead. Whatever you may be going through this Advent, this month of December, I want to encourage you to bring it to the one who knows your need. Whatever hopeless situation you are facing, maybe an oppressive amount of debt you can't see your way out of, maybe an addiction that you have tried over and over again unsuccessfully to break, maybe it's brokenness in your family, changes at work, maybe you're facing Christmas for the first time without your loved one. Whatever it may be for you, may you invite Christ to bring hope into your hopelessness. May you remember Isaiah's Christmas tree, the shoot from the stump of Jesse, and know this, that God's promises, however they may be challenged along the way, God's promises are forever. I want to share with you another promise from God's word. It's from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." God has a plan for your life. Even on the days when you don't know where you're going to turn next, regardless of the hopelessness you may find yourself in, know this, that God loves you more than you could ever imagine, that he is faithful to his promises, and that he will bring hope into every hopeless situation. This is the message of Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God with us. That God is with us even in the deepest and darkest valleys of life. See, well, there was another time, the Bible tells us, about when God's promise appeared to be challenged. A time when all hope seemed to be gone. A time when the light seemed to be snuffed out completely. The powers of darkness seemed to have won for good. And all of God's plan appeared to have failed. This time in history, about 30 years after the birth of Christ. When religious leaders had trumped up charges against Jesus, they'd incited the crowds to riot. The Roman authorities couldn't find anything wrong with Jesus, but fearing more political upheaval and unrest, they allowed Jesus to be condemned to death by crucifixion. The very promise of God, the light of the world, the Prince of Peace, the author of life, the shoot from the stump of Jesse, hung upon a Roman cross. And there, with forgiveness in his voice, he breathed his last breath. The earth shook, the sun went dark, and Jesus breathed no more. How could God fulfill his plan with a Messiah who bled and died? Now, you and I have the advantage of 2,000 years of knowing what happened. But for just a moment, imagine what it was like to have followed Jesus, to give in your life, to wander the countryside, to teach, to watch him do miracles, to hear Peter say, "Surely you are the Messiah, the Son of God," and to see him hang upon a cross and breathe his last breath. Hopelessness, despair. It seemed like death had won. But yet, into the most hopeless of all situations, God reminds us that he has a plan. For on the third day, as you and I know, Jesus conquered death and the grave for good, for all people, for all ages, when he broke the cords of death and returned to life. And once again we learn, because maybe we're a little slow to learn it, I don't know, but once again we learn that God is faithful and God's promises are forever. As followers of Christ, it is our job to not only live in that hope, although that's part of our job, to live in that hope, but it is also our job to carry that hope into every hopeless situation we might find. It is my prayer that this Christmas, you may be the body of Christ. You may be Isaiah's Christmas tree, the shoot from the stump of Jesse, that you may look for cycles of poverty you can help break, chains of addiction that you can help release prisoners from. May you bring peace into relationships that seem broken. And may you carry forth the message of salvation in Jesus to all that you meet. Alan and Melody are going to come to the platform and lead us in the conclusion of our service. But I want to invite you to stand with me as we again this week pray together the prayer of St. Francis, that God would take us and use us to be his instruments in this world. Would you stand with me as we pray together? Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast. We hope that the message has inspired you to draw closer to God each day. Pastor John would love to hear from you with any questions or just to let him know where you're listening from. You can send him an email at pastorjohn@capenazarene.org. May God bless you as you serve him today.